Welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast, the most influential and listened to podcast in auto detailing. Welcome to the community.
Hi, welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast. I'm Marshall. That's Nick. You can find us at hypercleanstore.com to check out some good quality products if you're into car care. Hey, that's why we're listening to this episode, right, Nick? Hey, if people want to go interact with us, though, they should go over to the HyperClean Specialist Group on Facebook. That is where you go interact. Great photos, great discussions, and a lot of good things going on there. Welcome back. This is another deep dive episode as we are going to get into ceramic coating prep. A deep dive on the process of prepping for ceramic coating. Nick, we've heard it. It's a thing over the years. Ceramic coatings, when it comes to it, prep is key. So using our efficient process then, well, ours is actually going to be the master key. Why is efficiency important?
Well, whether you're an enthusiast or a professional, I don't think you want to work on your car for, 15 hours unnecessarily, right? You get tired, you get worn down. I mean, that's the logical reason. And the reason is that if you have simple, easy steps to follow, then you're more likely to repeat them. And when you detail your second car and your 100th car and your 1,000th car, then, things will essentially be the same and repeatable. I mean, that's the real reason to have such a simple process.
Well, all right. But so you've seen some stuff that's wasted, right? Like we've talked about it openly on the podcast, right? Places you've been into, places I've been into. When we're thinking about prep, where are some ways that people waste time? Definitely it's going back and forth, not having everything organized is the number one way, right? I mean, that's the dominant one. What's some other ways inside of prep that people aren't efficient?
Claying unnecessarily. If you don't need to clay, that's a huge waste of time. The other thing is kind of having your process backwards or not being willing to maybe foam the car down a couple times. Instead, you try to foam it down once and you're trying to get everything done and you're rushing around and you think it's faster and it isn't. I think there's a variety of ways, obviously organization, doing the steps properly and in the same sequential order, but clay is the number one way people waste time. If it needs clayed, clay it. If it doesn't, don't.
Are you pretty strict on your process? Like, do you always attempt to do the exact same thing robotically over and over?
I don't really have a choice because I have a team. And the only way to make something repeatable is to do it the same every time. There may be, instances where we have to do tar removal or something that would be out of the ordinary of, hey, we got to take a minute here and remove some tar from the bottom of the door panel or whatever. But yeah, it's almost identical every time.
Any variables? I mean, there's got to be variables for inside a shop to outside as a mobile unit, right? A lot of people will go, well, hey, I'm mobile. I'm going to be different than a shop. I mean, it could be. What do you think? Is it variable for you and your business?
No, because even at my shop, we wash outside. I don't have a shop where we have a wash bay. Largely, I think most shops find themselves, even when they do wash inside, because they don't have a dedicated wash bay, they kind of contaminate their work area for PPF and different things like that. So most shops, unless they have a really segregated wash bay, will still wash outside, especially here in the Southwest, Southeast, those types of places. You're not getting hit with harsh winters. I mean, even if it gets cold, you can wait for it to heat up and kind of go into your prep process. But I think largely a lot of that, for the mobile guys listening to this, you kind of trick yourself into believing that when you get into a shop, my process will be different. It's largely not different at all. You have to look for some shaded areas or you have to battle the sun a little bit, but largely your process is your process.
What about cars? Does it change based on what type of car I might have? Or, small to big, soft paint to hard paint, new car to old car?
I mean, not to me. I guess some people could look at it that way, but prep is going to rely a lot on what you're doing to the car. I would maybe use a heavier clay or a clay mitt or a clay towel much more readily if I knew I was going to correct the paint, right? Because at that point in time, I don't care if I induce some marring because I'm going to remove it. If I was just going to do a simple 1 year coating, and again, we're pretty upfront about this, there's a reason to do a wash, clay, and coat. It's for a 1 year coating. It's not for these multi-year coatings where you're going to be locking in the paint. You want to do some enhancement or one step or a two step correction on the longer term, you know, coating systems. But, you know, to me, man, once you lock in a process and it's efficient, I find it very difficult to deviate from that because I don't want to mess up my efficiency. Right.
Now, you did mention a variable there. We want to get into it. Like the variables that happen actually though, while you're doing it, because maybe we don't change the process, but inside of the functionality of it, you mentioned there can be some different grades of clay to use, maybe even a clay towel instead of a clay mitt, right? There's a couple of which could be variables, but overall, it's important to have what we'd call a backbone, right? Like the full backbone operation of how you're going to do a prep process and making sure you do it in an efficient manner, right? So let's go into the wash, right? The very first step is this, and this is where I love the very first variable. And that is, do I fuego first? Do I put down my iron decon to start pulling out some contamination in the clear coat, or do I start to wash first and then decon later?
Yeah, I always wash first. I mean, I want to get the dirt, the grime, you know, the crusty pollen, whatever you might have on that vehicle. You could have, you know, bird droppings, you could have tree sap, you could have all these types of things that are on the paint that I would dress before I would do any type of iron decontamination. That's what I would do. And again, that's why we developed Cleanse. Cleanse was specifically developed, number one, if you have a beat up ceramic coating, right? You can use this for a little tougher cut through some of that road film and grime, but it was mainly founded for a prep soap. So we use it to prep for PPF. We use it to prep before a coating. We use it to prep before a correction. We use it as a prep soap because that's its design. So I'm going to probably, in most cases, do a nice thorough rinse and then throw Cleanse on. If it's a really beat up vehicle, I might throw Cleanse on, then rinse, then re-cleanse and go into the contact wash. And we've shown that on our YouTube channel that there's too many people that largely don't assess the vehicle sitting in front of them, you know, from the enthusiast to the professional. Not everything's going to be identical, but I'm going to start my process with Cleanse. So therefore it is the step in my process. If I have to use it as a foam, you know, before I rinse, or I use it after I rinse, then that's minuscule stuff to me, right? But I'm assessing in the moment what's best for that car.
And if I'm a waterless guy, I don't really have, or waterless rinseless, I don't really have a debate here, right? I'm just going to go into my wash process. I don't really pick and choose between which wash I'm going to do. But for you, what is your, I would much rather always put Cleanse down. If I have the option, use a power washer, foam cannon, and do Cleanse, or, hey, you know, it's okay to just, I can throw a rinseless on because I've coated, you've coated, plenty of us have coated cars by just doing a rinseless wash. So is this a big divide, or is this doesn't really matter?
I think it does matter. There's some people that have just gone down the rinseless, you know, that's the way they're going to run their business. So they don't have a choice. And I would think most people that are doing waterless or rinseless do have access to a pressure washer. They just don't like to use it. They would rather do rinseless or waterless. If you have a pressure washer, use it. I think when you're getting into prep process, use the film cannon, use the pressure washer. This isn't a maintenance situation. You want to get everything as clean as you can. And there's nothing that replaces something like Cleanse and a pressure washer. I mean, we can all, you know, talk about rinseless and waterless and how great of an advancement it's been. I've always said, though, on this podcast, and anybody that asks me, is I've always thought there were limitations to it. And I always treated it as such. I use it in the right moments, and then when it's not the right moment, I pull out the pressure washer.
All right. Can you hear him? There's that guy in the back. He's way in the back corner going, what about steam?
Yeah. No, I mean, I've never really done that. I have done it on some collectibles that you know, we specifically had something I shared in the group with an 89 Porsche that was bolt up restoration. Everything was new. They wanted no water introduced. We weren't actually coating that vehicle. We were using a very strong, very reputable paste wax because it was a collector car, and we were doing some polishing. I used steam in that because it was helpful, but I don't have a lot of, I don't know a lot of people doing an entire car with steam. Is it happening? Sure, it's happening. But is it taken off? Is it really a viable option for most of us? Because the steamers you need to buy to do an entire car, I think those range anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 a pop. If you have that process locked in, man, you know, good luck to you. Do it that way.
All right, so I'm going to go with cleanse. Let's say I'm doing that. I really want to get the car clean. Cleanse in my foam cannon, spray down the vehicle. All right, go grab my wash mitt out of the bucket, and I just go to town, right?
Yeah, I mean, whatever your process is. I mean, that's not what we say. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, just wash the car. You know, we've shown the process that we like. People can use that process. At the end of the day, man, people are going to do what they're going to do. So I prefer to use a towel method, which we've shown on our YouTube channel. Wash it, get it clean. Right now, what a lot of people don't take seriously enough is truly getting this car as clean as possible. That's what you're worried about. You're worried about getting this surface as clean as possible with that first step. So when you follow it with decon, when you follow it with clay, when you follow it with these other steps, you are truly in a prep process.
So why, if I'm washing with a traditional two bucket, you know, method, I've got a grit guard, I've got, well, you know, knockoff, whatever you want to say, something. I like the ones I find it interesting because it's what I kind of joked to you about when we did that episode. And I was like, well, I've got it like this. Well, there's people now creating them that are angled so that you can do it, right? Like, and there is this idea that you can shake off and get off all the dirt from your mitt. And so then I just go into the clean bucket and that's when I can get, you know, just a clean soap. You're saying that that's not really getting this clean as using the one bucket with only what, four towels. That's the way you like to do, four to five towels. We like to use a Versa towel here, and flipping that towel to all eight sides and then putting that towel away to do laundry. Okay, let's just pause for a moment and get out of the debate for a second and go, logically, it does sound like I should just get a cleaner vehicle, but am I still more efficient that way? That might be the question. Am I more efficient or less efficient?
I look, people can go look at the YouTube video. It says stop using the two bucket method, I think is the title of the video. We show how efficient it is. I mean, every time you got to stop and go to the bucket, rinse it, you know, get into a soap bucket, whatever, it's time away from the car. We don't have a ton of time away from the car using our method. And every panel has its own dedicated side of the towel. And that's what I think is the most efficient. That's what I actually think is the safest wash procedure. But again, you know, guys get bogged down in the wrong thing. We're just trying to get this car as clean as possible in this initial step so we can go to work with our clay, with our decon, with everything that's about to follow. So you got to look at it from that angle. People are going to argue about the bucket method for the rest of time, you know, and they're going to think they have the best way. If you watch our video, it's a very common sense video. I tend to lean towards things that make things a lot more clean, simple, and easy to understand. And you're not having to have, you know, 52 buckets and this bucket and that bucket. It just doesn't speak to me. And it isn't more efficient every time you go back to the bucket, because then you got to walk to the bucket usually. Even if it's on wheels, it starts to glide away from you if you have any type of incline that you're working on. And so that's our point of view on it. And we've put that out there, and hopefully guys, you know, find a way to use it.
Okay, so I'm washing. Let's go. I'm going with the Versa towel. I've used all my Versa towels. I used all the size, and I'm done. Am I rinsing at that very moment, or am I grabbing clay and I'm going to just go start claying the vehicle? what is the next step? Because this comes a little bit of a debate with people, and they go, yeah, you can just go straight into clay at this moment, or do I need to rinse that all the way off and re-foam the vehicle?
Yeah, go ahead and rinse it off. You want all that dirt and grime and everything that's left on the vehicle to be taken off the vehicle. That's why you did the agitation wash, right? That's why you did that step. And so the easiest way, if you don't want to refoam the car, or you're out in sunlight and you're like, hey, if I refoam the car, it's going to just dry out by the time I get there with my clay, is just take one of your clean towels left in the bucket, because most of the time you'll have one or two left, and you'll go ahead and take it out full of soap. Don't wring it out in the bucket. Take it to the hood to start with, or wherever you start, squeeze it out and clay with that towel, you know, releasing all that soap and suds and everything. And good thing about cleanse is it's incredibly lubricated. So you don't need a special clay lube. If you like to use one, use one. Like, again, this is not a hill I'm going to die on, but we know that there's a simpler way. Just go ahead and use the soap. If you're in somewhere in a shaded area, it's a cool day, foam the whole car down. And just go to work with your clay.
So clay bar, clay mitt, clay towel. Does it matter at this point? You did say some different levels a minute ago, right? Because depending on the age of the vehicle, type of clear coat, soft or hard, I do need to start thinking at this moment, what should I use in clay? Fine clay is always great unless it's heavily contaminated. Medium to heavy clay you want to use on that, but then I'm going to create more marring. If I've got soft paint and I mar it, oh gosh, I might have to start pulling out compound. I might definitely have to start doing some heavy cutting. So I can start creating more of a mess at this moment if I don't choose the right clay.
Well, remember, you may not have a choice. You got heavy contamination that you and I have come across, and many of you out there have come across. You may need a heavy clay. Like, you may need a really coarse clay to cut through some of these vehicles. Is that rare? In my experience, it's rare. That's on the rarer side. Most things can be handled with a fine clay. And, you know, you're just talking about minimal contamination. It may be all over the vehicle, but it's not super harsh. It's not, you know, somebody painted a house and it's literally like caked on or whatever the case may be. So at the end of the day, assess the vehicle. And again, I would say we're in the well into the 90% where a fine clay is going to do the job. Okay. But you're going to have 10% of those jobs where that's not going to be possible. And you need some harsh. And there's guys that like clay towels and they like clay mitts and they like the synthetic products on the market. We sell a clay mitt. I have no problem with it. I think you have to realize, though, if you use a clay mitt and you have anything like a Tesla paint or a black Honda paint or whatever, you're going to more than likely induce some damage. Now, I've seen some interesting thing out of the synthetic world where, you know, they're getting more towards the finer, you know, edge of things. But I still think there's nothing as safe as a fine clay bar.
All right. So you said don't fuego before. And then we've said we don't want to fuego while we're claying. While some people say, yeah, it's okay. Spray some decon into your clay mitt, spray a couple spritzes on the paint, and away you go. You start claying. Well, okay, Nick, when do I clay? When do I fuego, iron decon? Well, how do I know when to do which? Or do I do both?
Yeah, so I'm going to do wash with cleanse, rinse, clay, and then I'm going to decon. And the reason is because if I have a lot of contamination on my vehicle, I'm now asking that chemical to go through all that, you know, contamination that it's not meant to break through, and it may not do such a good job with iron removal. And so because we're using a chemical, all the things we did before were mechanical, right? Mechanically washing the car, mechanically by hand claying. Now we're in a position where we're going to allow a chemical to work. Right. And so I want to give that chemical the cleanest surface, the easiest surface for it to work on. And that's what I'm going to do. Okay. Now, there is an argument if you live in places that have heavy iron contamination to actually move this up in your process before clay, so you don't get shards of iron or things into your clay bar. Okay.
How do I know that? How do I know if I'm one of those?
I think everybody knows. Look, man, if you live in a heavy industrial area, if you live around things like railroad tracks, if I say this example all the time, when we get stuff out of Los Angeles delivered here for customers, we know their iron contamination is much higher than what we have here in Las Vegas. Okay. So if we have a Beverly Hills Ferrari delivers us a Ferrari, I may move my iron decon step up before the clay, because I know I may have excessive iron contamination on a used Ferrari or, used Honda or whatever it is I'm working on. And so you got to think about that. And I think all of us know our area, right? So if I looked and I go, hey, this doesn't need a heavy clay, but I know I got a lot of iron contamination in my area, I may move up my iron decon process before my clay just to provide myself a little bit of peace of mind. That's what I would do. Okay. But this is where we go. Assess your city. I mean, there's some cities that they use iron decon products, and you and I both know they'll have a speck here, a speck there, some things behind the rotor on the bottom of the panel. They're not going to have what you have in heavy industrial areas, right? Like there's plenty of parts of America, of the world, that don't have heavy iron contamination. But you also could run up on a car whose brake locked up, and the guy drove 40 miles with a locked up brake, and he's got iron contamination all over his car. So you just have to assess the car and the situation that you're in. I don't think there's necessarily a right or a wrong when it comes to clay or iron decon first or second. If you have heavy contamination that needs to be clayed, it's going to be harder for the iron decon to work. So in that instance, I would draw a line and say, look, I don't have a choice. This car is just hammered with stuff that has to be clayed off. I got to get that off if I want any hope for the iron decon to work.
Cool. Now, while we're clean and I go around and I grab a little black every once in a while, right? Sometimes we see tar. You mentioned tar earlier that we should have picked it up at the very first when we walked around and assessed the vehicle. But every once in a while, we can, like you mentioned, little specks. There, sometimes that gets overlooked. What else can I pull up with clay, right? What am I really trying to do? Because it will, and some people ask, hey, can I remove tar with clay? Well, aspects, and sometimes you can. You might have to work a little bit, but a lot of times I can. What else can I do with clay?
Well, look, I think the number one contamination that we talk about all the time is somebody painted something near your car, right? That's the most universal thing that you'll get called and say, I went out to my car and I saw these specks, or I felt my paint and there was all this rough. Well, did somebody paint a house, a building, road paint, whatever around your business or around your home recently? Yeah, my neighbor painted his house. Or we had a really rough situation once. Somebody actually painted, sprayed urethane on a wooden garage door and had the garage door down, but didn't cover up the cars. Well, let me tell you what you had there. A real bad situation. So it's usually something out of the driver's control that causes the worst situations of, what clay can pick up. And I would say almost entirely in my life, clay has been responsible for picking up. Somebody painted something near my car. I would say unequivocally, I would say it's probably the same in Tulsa and around the country, that is the number one thing that people see. The other thing is that you just have like road debris. You have industrial fallout that's not metals like, iron we're trying to remove. It's just literally soot from a factory that's near your house or whatever, and it baked on a little bit. I mean, there's a variety of things that clay can remove, but I've always just described it as industrial fallout, somebody painted, environmental things, usually out of our control, that are clogging up and damaging our clear coat, our car looking its best.
You will clay before you dry. But there's some that will clay after they dry. Any reason not to clay after I dry? I would say, because you mentioned clay lube earlier, and there's a lot of stuff in clay lube that we might have wanted to not put on the vehicle, right? So could I then refoam, which is what we talked about a second ago? You mentioned dipping your, you know, your towel down in the bucket. Those are a much more cleaner, right? Better, more efficient process because, you know, if I'm going to dry the vehicle and then go to clay, I've done it. You've probably done it. I just know I'm adding more things to that vehicle and I'm going to need to then use something to remove them. So let's go ahead and do that while it's wet. And then I'm going to dry the vehicle. Okay. I've dried anything I need to work on while I'm drying because, okay, there's a lot of people who go, hey, throw on a drying aid. That's going to help you be more efficient. It's going to speed up your process. You know, I'll definitely want to get a leaf blower, something to get some air moving, something to get some water out of the cracks. But should I use a drying aid or is that, once again, just adding some stuff to the vehicle that I probably really shouldn't?
Yeah, no, I've never been a fan of clay lubes, detail sprays, anything like that in my clay process, let alone my drying process. I am trying to achieve what we all call industry term naked paint. You know, paint where there's nothing in between the clear coat and whatever it is I'm going to do on the next step. And so that's where I leave it. I know people do that. I would say, in my opinion, like you said, I don't want anything in between me and the steps that I'm trying to get to, right? And especially when you talk about ceramic coating. I think a lot of guys, and I wouldn't say this is across the board, but I think that it's something that we should say out loud. A lot of guys struggle with ceramic coatings from a variety of companies lasting because they add in these steps that add in these barriers to the coating bonding with the clear coat. So all I'm ever worried about is getting the coating to bond to the clear coat. That's what I'm worried about. So if I introduce something, and this is something you and I found when we were making our wipe product, our prep panels, or our panel prep spray, is that you would find a lot of people would go too harsh on alcohols. Therefore, like it would, you know, mark up trim or, you know, swell the paint or whatever and not have enough lubrication. And then you would mar the surface when you were trying to use it. That's like the whole, well, just use an isopropyl alcohol and water. It's like, okay, that's pretty harsh. And by the way, it's really tough to glide a towel over the surface with isopropyl alcohol and water.
Plenty of lint I've left behind with that method.
Yeah. So I think you got to realize that, you know, we're talking about drying the car. We're talking about our next steps. One of the things that everybody has to understand that I think we don't say out loud enough is you just don't want anything in that barrier, right? You don't want anything creating a barrier. And you may think that you have this great clay lube and you like it and it's never caused an issue. And truthfully, you don't know that because even if you think you can look at the SDS sheet, you and I both know, we've said this on this podcast, you don't actually know all the ingredients because they don't have to list all the ingredients. That would be called a formula. And you certainly don't have somebody's formula completely on the SDS sheet. That's just a fallacy that, again, people argue on the internet. It's not true. And again, if they only have certain percentages, they definitely don't have to put it on the SDS sheet legally. So people have to understand that I am just in favor of drying the car with a specific car blower, a leaf blower, getting the cracks all handled, taking a towel. Even if you're like, hey, I don't like to wipe a towel over. Okay, man, just go and use a big towel like the Big Chug and just tap the water off. You know what I mean? Just kind of lay the towel flat and, you know, tap the door panel, go to the next door panel. It'll get dry. That shouldn't be the issue here. And so I'm just not a fan of introducing anything that can mess up the next step that I'm moving towards.
And what is that next step? Here becomes that moment of truth, right? Like something that we put out years and years ago, but is grabbing more and more debate and even seeing groups, right? Like a quote unquote group that's named such and such paint correction now coming out and saying, hey, you don't have to paint correct before every coating. Okay. So Nick, do I? No, right? We've said that openly and publicly, 16, 17, you coming on 20, 20. Like we always have talked about this. This is a hill that you've said there's stuff, the hills that you want to die on and not die on. This is a hill that I definitely want to die on, right? Like I have said this openly and publicly and fought almost at this moment, but there is some truth to when you do need to correct, right? There is some times that you should, without a doubt, put down correction on the vehicle. I guess put down is the wrong word, removing, imperfections, and you actually are, creating that more of that cleaner surface of the clear coat. Because as I fully correct a vehicle, and there's levels to what we would say fully correcting, but as I go through that level of correction, I'm beginning to reduce the amount of angles that happen from scratches. And what that does is it does allow a clearer, much better visibility of the paint underneath the clear coat. So the further I do go with fine tuning that clear coat with correction, actually I do get a much better visual image of the paint. So there are times absolutely to correct inside of a process as I'm prepping for a coating. When do I know? When should I do correction?
Yeah, so we're drying the vehicle now, right? So we did cleanse, we did iron decon, we did clay. We've now dried the vehicle. I'm going right into correction, right? Now, there's a couple things why we kind of call it wash, clay, and uno. We have a big belief in our 1 year that if you followed that prep process we just walked you through, then you threw some wipe down, then you put uno down, you're going to get your 1+ year out of that coating. When you start to get into multi-year, you got to remember oxidation becomes an enemy, right? Like one of the things we don't talk about enough of with paint correction is one of the things that could screw up the bond of a multi-year coating is if I have excessive oxidation, sometimes you can see it because it's a black vehicle and you go, it's kind of got a gray look to it. That's oxidation. That's not swirling and scratching. The paint's oxidizing. And when you're trying to get multi-years out of a coating, the reality is the safest way to get it to bond is to take off that layer of oxidation. Because remember, oxidation is basically just dead paint skin.
Yeah, right? Only on 10-year-old vehicles, right? Vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can get a Toyota right out of the factory and it starts oxidizing minute one. And there's an argument that all paint literally starts oxidizing minute one, some worse than others, right? Toyota, notorious for, especially their white. I mean, you can get a white that's 30 days old and go, what the hell happened at the factory? Like, why does this already look oxidized? And that's just been a historically big problem for Toyota. Honda's had some issues and other manufacturers as well. But again, if you're doing wash, clay, and uno, we gave you the process. If you're in a situation, I'm looking at a Range Rover, it's a 2019, the person went through car washes, I see a black one, it's got some oxidation, maybe it sits in the elements all the time, out in the sun here in Las Vegas or Phoenix or Florida or Texas or wherever, 24/7, I'm going to want to do a little one step. There's some guys that talk about that enhancement, life. Well, an enhancement really should be about removing oxidation, brightening up the paint. And that's really what you're doing. That's fine too. But you have to know what you're trying to get done with your car to choose the correction and the level of correction that you're going to do on the car sitting in front of you. If a customer hasn't paid me for a complete two-step compound and polish, I'm not going to give them that. That's time, that's effort, that's money. So now it's about what exactly has been chosen to do to this car.
So you said one step. Anything that I, as we will later put out, compound, put out polish, we'll put out this stuff. But when I'm thinking sitting right now, all right, how do I know if I should one step or use a all-in-one or compound and polish? And, besides having it as, and this is where we get into that debate of having packages and, if I got a 5-year, that's always going to get this double step, full correction. If I'm putting, Sparta on, that's what I'm going to do. If I'm Trey, I don't have to do full, maybe I could do, there becomes a lot of that inner questioning around when do I do the full on correction or can I just take a one step and just quote unquote buzz over the vehicle?
Yeah, to me, a one step is a little bit more thorough than that. You're going to say that on most mid-sized SUVs, it's somewhere between a 2 and 4 hour process to really do a complete one step. Enhancement would be buzzing over as a terminology in our, you know, I would say in the total car care world, that 1 hour, 1.5 hour, I'm buzzing over it. I'm removing the oxidation. I'm not getting a whole bunch of stuff out. I'm just kind of going as quickly as I can. That you know, again, you get into this place where terminology gets kind of funky, right? And everybody kind of uses their own terminology. But a one step, to me, you can make a really complete 50 to 80 to 90% difference depending on the softness of the paint. And at the end of the day, that's a pretty robust finish for somebody that came in with a beat up car. But you got to do it in a complete way. You got to do it in a professional way. And I would say this, we are moving to a one-step world, whether we like it or not, because modern clear coat, modern paint systems, water-based paint systems are becoming, in my opinion, pretty brittle. They're becoming very thin. And you start taking compound to everything you do, which we see out of the DIYer now. You know, we see out of the professional now with 1 or 2 years experience. Good luck to you, because you have some problems coming your way if you just think I'm going to take a hatchet to everything that I do. There's professionals that have years of experience that are now starting to talk about this, which we've been talking about for years. I think we're being forced into that one-step world. But you can do such a great one-step with the technology now. I don't think that's a bad thing. I really don't. But you got to have the skill to get the most out of that one step as you can.
Okay, so if, let's say I've got a brand new vehicle, and let's just go through, and this is what's always fun, right? Because it's so random that people would do, but they love these, what if I've got this and I've got that, you know, right? Like, and that's why I want to bring it up, is because I just know that there'll be people that start to ask these questions because they want to find these like loopholes, or, well, what if this, right? Like, or what if, and this is where I go variables, right? Like having a process, but then having some variables to your process. If it's a brand new, straight off the lot type of vehicle, hey, you should at least, to your point, put some type of correction, something on the vehicle if it's getting a multi-level coating.
Multi-year right, coating. Yeah, not multi-level. Multi-year.
Sorry, my fault. Yeah, multi-year, yeah. My fault.
Yeah.
Let's say, okay, I'm done with that. Either I've buzzed over, I've gone two steps, I've gone one step, whatever level of correction I've chosen. All right. Do I rewash the vehicle? Do I grab wipe? What is my next thing to do here? Do I just go straight into to coatings and start applying a coating? What do I do after I've done my correction?
So would I rewash the vehicle? Man, if I did a really heavy compound, the answer is yes.
Because?
Most of the time, you have probably sanded some spots, you know, little spots here and there around. I'm not saying sand the whole vehicle, but you've isolated some defects and you go, okay, I'm going to run some quick sandpaper here. There's debris. Usually you're using something wool or microfiber based. Those tend to kind of throw fibers around. You maybe are, if you're skilled enough, you're using a rotary. Let's be honest, those pads can throw some things around. Again, your compound choice. There's still some people that love a solvent-based, compound. That's going to throw a lot of dust out there. Even some of the water-based, if you're in a hotter area in the summer and you overwork it, it'll dust a little bit. So in that case, if I did a really heavy compound and I looked around and I go, man, there's kind of a lot of stuff on the car. Go out and wash it. Just make your life easier, because trying to wipe every little corner and every little nook and cranny, it's going to be kind of tough to do. If you don't have that, you can go directly into using a panel prep like our wipe product. Okay. 99% of the time that we do a one step, I won't say we never wash after a one step, but very rarely something's happened. We just feel like, you know what, man, just take it back out. And this again is look at the car. Look at the car. You know, if you're looking around and you go, man, I kind of, you know what, on that door panel, I kind of flung some stuff. I wasn't using my brain or whatever. Just take it out and wash it. But I will say almost every time in a one step in our situation with the compounds we choose, most of them were developing in-house. that we're sending back and forth. There's what we're using here. Here's the whole truth about it, that I don't really have much debris. I don't have sling everywhere. I didn't make a mistake. I didn't, you know, fling it into a door panel or whatever. And so at this point in time, I just go directly into panel prep.
Hey, and all you two bucket grid guard guys, you're going to love getting your mitt out of that dirty soapy water and going to rub a freshly corrected vehicle. Let me tell you about it.
It's true. That's true. I never even thought about that. That's true.
So I would, you know, one option there would be, you know, definitely using the towels like we talked about, or using a rinseless, right? Something that we can go over and just rewash the vehicle. But let's talk about wipe for a second. Let's say whether I wash it again or I don't need to wash it again, and I'm using wipe now as my final step right before I'm going to apply ceramic coating. So why have we done wipe the way we've done it? We've talked about lubrication, okay, why it's important and when you're wiping over the vehicle, because number one, we've all probably seen, which I joked a minute ago, is having that lint, like having a little bit of that towel lint get dragged around, it's not fun at all. So we've got lubrication in there. We don't need to go over that anymore. But what is wipe doing as it's removing? And then why are we going to choose the VersaTowel for this situation?
I think you could choose two towels here. There's some guys that feel more comfortable with a low pile towel, so you could use our leveler here. I personally choose the VersaTowel because it doesn't have long fibers, but it's incredibly dense and high GSM. So it's going to help and aid and pick up of any leftover residue from polish or compound or whatever you have there that you've used all over the car. Because remember, we're kind of wiping periodically. We're wiping the best we can, you know, during the process of paint correction. And now we need something to aid us in doing what? Removing every last bit of that. And so actually, I would say this is probably one of the slower processes in my process.
How much are you spraying? I think some people, when I've talked to them about wipe, they go, oh, what, just like a couple sprays on the panel?
Again, we did a video about this. Spray it liberally, okay? It dissipates. It's not going to leave any residue behind, so there's no reason to fear overusing it. The other thing is I am working my hardest not to mar up all my hard work, and I need it to cut through oils and compound residue and polish residue and all these things that may exist there. And this is the final barrier between you and applying a ceramic coating. Why would I want to cheap out on that part? Because now the next step I go to is laying the coating down. I'm just not going to cheapen out on that step. If you want to use a little less soap in your foam cannon or a little, okay, man, it's defensible on some level. When I'm at my last step, before I go and seal in all my hard work, I'm just going to go ahead and spray it, you know, liberally. I just like a good coverage. I don't overuse it. It's not like it's dripping off the panel or anything, but I make sure there's enough there for me to work with. I don't want my towel dragging. And when we made that formula, the number one thing I told you, and I think you agreed when you started talking about what you hated about these, we wanted very little grabbiness. So we use wipe, just so everybody knows, we use wipe to prep before windshield film. We use wipe to prep edges before PPF. We use wipe before prepping for ceramic coating. And that was important to me because those are the things we do at my shop. And so we actually have a bunch of shops that do nothing but PPF that buy a ton of wipe from us. They buy wipe because they prep all their edges. And because if you use just a straight harsh alcohol, you can actually affect the adhesive on PPF. And so this is a formula that's meant to be harsh in its cleaning ability, but not harsh in its finish, right? And that's a big difference in panel prep. I used some panel prep from a previous coating company I was working with. That stuff was so harsh, I'd almost have to take a break between prepping the vehicle and laying the coating down because I would be like, this stuff smells hot. It reacts hot. It's got to be doing something to the clear coat to swell it. I would see ghosting in weird spots at times. And I'm like, I just got to know this is the panel prep doing this. And finally I had their chemist who was overseas say, yeah, that can happen. It's like, guys, a lot of things can affect that last step. Use the proper process and especially the proper product, use it properly, and you're going to be fine. But there's a lot of guys that rush this step and they start to have some weird things happen in coating application, largely because they didn't take enough time to go through this final little step.
Mm. And how important it is, right? Dramatically important to use. I like to use wipe, right? Make sure you use it, because the reason why we formulated it that way, as people have said, wow, glass cleaner is amazing. Hey, wipe is right there with it, right? How different it is than others in the market. It's amazing. And now we're ready to go into the coating. And so listeners are going to need to wait to another episode, right? Like we will do another episode when we talk about applying ceramic coating, and you'll hear that coming up pretty quick as we go and dive into some other things that we're hearing around the industry around ceramic coating. So stay tuned for that episode, and we will see you all next time. Nick, great talk, and that is a deep dive into prepping for a ceramic coating.
All right, guys.